If we've been your job search besties and helped you in some way, there's a cool way you can support the show. Shout us a virtual coffee.
As an independent podcast, we couldn't do what we do without your support. Head to buymeacoffee.com/interviewboss.
If you keep us caffeinated, we'll keep the content coming. There's no point trying to fake it till you make it or overinflate what you've done. You just have to show up as you, and the rest is out of your control.
Yes.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Interview Boss. My name is Emma. I'm a radio journalist who's teamed up with my sister to give you advice, inspiration, and support when you're looking for a new job. Sarah is a HR and recruitment professional, and together we're excited to give you all the tips, tricks, and behind-the-scenes knowledge to help you in your career.
Hey Em, welcome back, our incredible listeners, wherever you're listening to us. It's time for my favorite part of the podcast, the shoot your shot shout out. You guys have gone out there, you've shot your shot, and you've got an update for us. And we're saying thank you and giving you a shout out for letting us know about it. So this week we're giving a shout out to Leah, and she bought us a coffee. Thank you so much, Leah. You're supporting the show, helping us keep making this every week.
Not only did she buy us a coffee, but she did a one-on-one interview coaching session with you last year and says it was the best decision she's ever made. She said it gave me the confidence I needed to get through some big interviews I'd landed and resulted in the best interviews I've ever had and 2 job offers to pick from. Feeling super grateful for you girls, and I'm super happy in my new role. I've now got super valuable advice for my CV and future interviews to keep forever. Cheers, ladies.
How incredible, Leah. It's so wonderful to hear from you. That is absolutely incredible. Congratulations. I love it. You absolutely didn't have to shout us a coffee just to update me on how the coaching session went. But I love that we found out this way. I don't necessarily read these before we read them out on the podcast because I like to kind of save my reactions. And this is incredible. The fact that she said it's the best decision she ever made, that's huge praise. Incredible.
Big call. And it's the gift that keeps on giving. She's got that advice forever. So if you want to check out the one-on-one session, you can head to interviewboss.com.au/coaching. You can also compare the pair, check out Interview Academy, which might be better suited for you if you need wide-ranging help and instant help compared to more specific help at a time that suits Sarah and matches up in the hemispheres.
Interview Academy is a bit like getting 10 different coaching sessions from me. All in one go, because you cover all of the topics to go from complete end to end rather than being cut off with just one topic.
As always, if you loved one of our episodes, a tip, or want to request an episode specifically on your conundrum or industry, slide into our DMs. Kindly follow us on Instagram first, though. That's the rule. And we could dedicate a whole episode to you, which is what we're doing for the lovely Beth. So she wrote to us and said, "Hi, I have an internal interview tomorrow in Florida and have listened to most of your episodes over the past several weeks, and it's been so helpful to prep. Something I haven't heard yet that could be helpful is for a first-time leadership role. I'm interviewing to be the new manager of the team that I'm currently on, and I've never led a team before. I've been with this company for 15 years, so the prep seems to be enough, but I know the questions I'll be asked will be less individual contributor-based and more leadership-based. An episode on that aspect of interviewing may be good. Love the podcast, and I appreciate the guidance and relaxed vibes you ladies have. It's helped me realize that interviews are nerve-wracking, but don't have to be scary. Thanks for all you do. I'll be recommending your podcast to my friends and colleagues. Total game changer."
Oh, I love that. Interviews don't have to be scary. Like, they're never going to be fun. I mean, some people say that we made them fun, which is the coolest, like, compliment in the whole world. But this, you're still going to be nervous. It just doesn't have to be completely terrifying. I don't know what to do. I'm completely incapable of this. That's what we're here for. We're the interview bosses, after all. So, Beth, I said, because she messaged us, you know, the day before her interview, we weren't able to get back to her on time with some advice for her interview. But I said to her, thank you so much, because I know that she sent this through as a suggestion yeah, maybe for her, but also for all the other people that it would probably help, knowing that it probably wouldn't come in time for her interview. So thank you so much, Beth, for thinking of everyone else. And as soon as I read this question, I went, oh my gosh, this is exactly what we need to talk about. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about interviewing or applying for your first leadership, management, team leader type of a role. How do we go about that? How are you going to land a job doing something that you haven't had experience doing? It's a real milestone in people's career.
Yes. Now, we are going to break this up into two separate episodes. The first one is going to be kind of the mindset of stepping into that leadership mentality. And the part two is going to be how to answer questions about leadership when you haven't actually been a manager before. You don't have specific leadership experience. So stay tuned for that. But firstly, mindset. Now, if you have never been a manager before, is this a deal breaker?
It could be, yes. Maybe you're expecting me to say, no, it's not a deal breaker. Well, you know, we like to keep it real here. So yeah, it might be a deal breaker depending on the job, depending on the scenario. If you haven't got experience in that thing, maybe that's a really big problem and that's not going to work for this role. But maybe it is not a deal breaker. Maybe it's not even close. Maybe there's so many more other things that they care about more than you having specifically managed a team before. And I thought this is really hard to explain until you get into an example. So I really want to break this down into a couple of examples and really get our listeners in the mindset of making these decisions, or where a company might be coming from, or where an executive or a senior leader might be coming from in hiring for one of these roles, and all the things that they might be factoring in, so that you can understand all the things that you do bring to the table and the things that you don't, so that you can get a sense of when it might be something you can overcome and when it might not be. And that's okay. We're still shooting our shot, but we just know that we can't control every single part.
Yeah, there's no point trying to fake it till you make it or overinflate what you've done. You just have to show up as you, and the rest is out of your control.
Yes.
And I know when we do these mindset kind of activities, it really lands with people and there's light bulbs. So I'm going to set the scene with a scenario. You're going to tell us about the candidates and then we're going to discuss. So think about, I want you to picture that the job that you're going for is managing a retail store. It's the busiest store in the region, in all of the lands, and therefore it's the hardest to keep on top of. So you do have an experienced district manager, but they aren't based locally. So they would only be able to come and visit the store every couple of weeks. So you wouldn't be getting a lot of kind of face-to-face time. So tell us about who else has applied to manage this retail store.
So we have two candidates that I want you to think about, and I want you to think about what each of those candidates might bring to the role, or the benefits, and also what the challenges might be if we were to hire that person, because there's going to be some in both categories. Now, first of all, you have an internal permanent team member. They know the store really well. They've worked there a couple of years. They know all the team. They can handle responsibility. They've stepped up and done bits and pieces in the past, like they've been running stock takes. Occasionally they kind of keep things afloat when a manager is away for a week or something like that, but they've never been the manager or the assistant manager. So there's a lot to learn. They've never done a roster. They haven't managed a VM change, like changing over all the stock, or dealt with hiring. And one of the reasons I picked a store manager and a retail store is because I think this is easy for people to imagine. I don't necessarily think that all of our listeners are going for store manager jobs. I just think this is one that, regardless of the industry you come from, you can imagine what this would be like. Now, our second candidate is an external experienced store manager. They have 18 months experience as a store manager, so not tons, but it was a quiet store and it sold a completely different type of product. So they've done rosters, they've reported into a region before, they've sat on meetings, they've got some examples of different bits and pieces of management that they've dealt with before, but there's so much that's different and they're still relatively green in terms of having managed a store. So what are your thoughts? Who do you think you would hire?
Okay, I feel like I would trust the internal permanent team member with my life. She's been there forever. She's like part of the furniture, and I feel like I can get past.
How do you know it's a she?
Well, I'm just picturing that she's a badass, and yeah, she's like that person that when the new people are there and they're freaking out at the register because it's like glitching and it won't return the item, she's like, okay, double click here. Yep. Then you go into here and then clap three times, spin around, Bob's your uncle.
Yeah.
You're sorted. So like for me, I'm liking her. I feel like we can show her how to do a roster. You know, she can learn about the visual merchandising, which is that what that stands for, by the way, VM. Yeah, I'm thinking that because like, okay, if we're selling jewelry and the other person's come from selling soccer boots, like I'm not sure that that's the same kind of energy we're bringing.
Yep, that is true. That is true. That is absolutely true. Here's some of the things that I would be thinking about or questions that I would want answered to get a bit more information. I would be looking at, okay, what other store managers do we have of stores that might be close by? Because having your biggest, most important store with a brand new store manager is not necessarily the way that things would run ideally. You would potentially move a manager who's experienced at one of your other locations to there and then, yeah, maybe promote this person, but into a different store to begin with, just so they can kind of get a handle on stuff that's not like the largest, busiest, biggest store that they've got to handle. Because often that comes with really insane kind of turnovers, KPIs, like just so much more going on. Like you've maybe even got like more head office people visiting because it's the busiest store in the region, all these extra things that might happen there because of the fact that it's the busiest one. So that's the stuff I'd be thinking about. I would be wanting to know what other support have you got? So is there a store in the region that is close by that even if you didn't swap the managers, maybe you could send them there for some training or that you could send that other manager there to support a couple of days a week? Have you got an assistant manager in place? Like, could you promote your assistant manager and put this one into assistant? There's so many things that go through my head. Have you got a visual merchandising person who could come and support them learning that? Like, where are the supports to make that work, right? That's what I'm thinking about.
Wait, I have a question. Don't mean to offend you by this question that this is what's going through my head, but when someone from head office visits a retail store, like when someone from head office, like the big CEOs at my work visit the building, they show up in expensive cars and suits and like they're billionaires. Like the head of retail, are they just coming in like recreational outfits?
Yes.
Like what's...
Yes. Yes.
That's so funny. Susan from head office is here and she's wearing three-quarter pants.
She is. She is wearing three-quarter pants. That's me. I've worked in HR for a retail store and we've done store visits for various things where we've been telling them about changes that are coming or we've been checking things out or we've been comparing stores or we've been looking for whatever. And like you kind of dress similar to the way that the people That's in the so store would funny. Dress, depending on what you're doing.
That would be harder to spot because in corporate, you know, when the billionaires are entering the building and you're like, oh shit, and it's really obvious. But like you could just mistake them for like a shopper and it could be like mystery shopper undercover vibes.
Oh, you wouldn't sneak up on your team. That would be not appropriate. And also if it's the first time anyone in the store has ever heard of you and you're turning up there, that's like super inappropriate. Like someone, they should know the head of retail at least, like the manager should know the head of retail and they should be able to spot them. Anyway, all details, but things that I would want to know about the external manager is have they ever worked with different types of product before? Like, yes, they worked at a soccer boot store, like you said, but have they worked in a different type of area prior to that? Maybe they worked in fashion, which is still not jewelry, but maybe it's a little bit closer prior to the soccer boot store.
They're cousins.
Yeah, like maybe they do have experience in two different types of retail environments. That would be interesting to me. I would also want to know what their personality was like. Do I feel like they can really handle the responsibility and the energy of kind of being a flagship store manager? You have to be really, really great on top of your game to kind of be in that role. Those are all the things that I would want to be finding out. Now, would it change anything about what your initial thought was, Em, if the district manager job was vacant? There's no one there. We're still going through a hiring process. That's a tough role to hire because it's a little bit more senior. Would you put the permanent team member in as manager when they don't have a DM?
That'd be a bit rude. That would be like code for hit the ground running and just like absolutely be set up to fail and then burn out.
Literally no support. And maybe there's another DM for another region, but they don't have enough time. Like, are you actually going to be able to support that person? It was already going to be a stretch in the before scenario when the manager was going to be able to be there a couple of times.
Yeah, when she couldn't visit very often.
In the after, if that role's vacant, that then becomes very different, doesn't it? And suddenly the fact that that person doesn't have store management experience and management experience in general might be a deal breaker. Do you see how that changes? The candidate is the same. We still think so many great things about them, but the scenario changed a little bit and it put us over the edge of going, we just can't do that, not just to the store, but also to the person. We can't put that person in that environment if they don't already have some confidence in what they're doing and how to go about this. I would honestly, even if the district manager role was vacant, I would even have doubts about putting the external person in, because how are they going to learn the business and how things run if they've got no manager?
The ins and outs, yeah.
Yeah, like that's even going to be really tough as well.
This imaginary store's in big trouble. They need to fill some gaps ASAP.
It is. It is. Now, let's go to a second scenario with a totally different environment, totally different set of features.
So there is a vacant job that you want to go for, and it would be managing a small team of account managers. What do I do? I'm an accountant.
Not an accountant.
What's an account manager?
Like a salesperson, customer service type person, but for larger type of sales. So you might be an account manager for like a software company.
Dyson vacuums.
Yeah, maybe, but you would be like a sales rep / account manager for all the retail stores. So your clients would be the retail stores that you're selling wholesale to. So you're speaking to their buyers, maybe. Again, account manager can be a whole bunch of different stuff, but you have a set of customers or clients. You're looking after the company's clients, but they're typically businesses that you're looking after in your portfolio. That's what an account manager does.
It kind of sounds like a made-up job. Anyway.
Well, they're putting in orders and they're like, Emma, my store has run out of stock. Have you got any more Dyson vacuums that you can send us? They've just been flying off the shelves. We're doing so well for you. Look how much money we're making you. Can you give us some more stock? Oh, well, Sarah, that new product, we've just got none. Let me see what I can do. You've got to ring around and borrow some from the warehouse and see if they, oh, this is my best client. Can you get them any?
Wow. There are so many jobs out there. Also, Dyson, if you're listening, I would love a vacuum.
Hey, Interview Boss listeners, if the podcast just isn't doing it for you and you need way more help to prep for your next interview, we have the perfect thing for you. Interview Academy. Em, tell us all about it.
This is huge. This is the love child of Sarah after doing hundreds of one-on-one coaching sessions, finding out what people struggle with the most, common mistakes. Sarah has created the ultimate course that you can do in your own time, self-paced, heaps of modules, videos, interactive quizzes, a workbook that will become your Bible by the end that you can take with you into your interview. Because if you're a long-time listener, you know that we endorse taking notes into your interview. It's a game changer.
Check out more about it at interviewboss.com.au/interview academy.
So there are a couple of members of the team who've been with the company for a very long time, and there's a lot of history between them, their roles, what they do and don't do, very defined, rigid. There are performance issues in the team that need digging into. Clients are coming back with issues that weren't resolved properly. Not good in the account management world, really.
Yep. And maybe it's a software company and clients are saying, I've inquired about this extra feature that we wanted to turn on. And maybe that extra feature means that you can actually bill them more as well. So it means more revenue for the company. And the account managers just haven't gotten back to them. They haven't sent them the quotes over. They haven't forwarded onto the sales team. It's just kind of sitting there. Like, these are things that are actually creating issues with the client, but also potentially, you know, creating lost revenue as well. So let me introduce your candidates. I feel like one of those dating show hosts. You know how they did that at the end of Shrek? Did they do that at the end of Shrek?
Yeah.
I feel like they did. Or it's part of Shrek, isn't it? Behind window number one.
Yeah.
Is that what he says? The magic mirror?
Yeah, you're thinking of Wholesome. I'm thinking of that UK TV show, Naked Attraction.
Oh,
have you
yeah.
seen that?
I think I've seen it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
UK listeners, can you please comment if you're on Spotify below? Did that actually air on free-to-air TV? Like, how? How was that allowed to go on air? Was it at, like, midnight once all the kids had gone to bed? Like, it is just unhinged. UK does reality TV totally different. Do you remember when they put that box in the middle of like a mall and it was like the ugly makeover and they would pick people off the street that they
yes.
thought were ugly and like
oh, I loved
it, renovate them and then it would spit them out and they looked worse.
Was it
and
pod?
Then there would be like
personal overhaul yeah, device or something. Oh.
And then it would pull people off the street and be like, would you kiss her? No. Like, it was horrific. Like, what is wrong with the British people? Their TV shows are crazy.
I loved all those makeover shows. And they'd always make them take out all their extensions and take off their makeup or dress like a normal person.
But they always made them look like they were 40. Like, they'd be a 19-year-old girl and suddenly she looks she looks like she's off to an office job.
She's wearing a blazer. She's got a pencil skirt and some loafers.
Yeah, like, oh, TLC and those kind of like, I don't know, there's something going on over there.
What a segue we really went on. Anyway, behind door number one, our first candidate is an experienced senior account manager. Now, not a manager, but just has done the account management job before and is experienced at that, is a senior. Hasn't run the team, but is a senior as part of a different company in a similar-ish kind of an industry, but doesn't have any formal management experience. They do, however, have a great track record setting up processes and systems. They come across, when you've met them or talked to them, as someone who would really want to get to know their team, get them on board. They're very collaborative and you can kind of see how they might go about winning people over and starting to make some changes. Now, behind door number two, your second candidate is also an external candidate. So we've got two externals here. We have an experienced manager. They have had 15 plus years of experience in various different industries. They have experience managing all types of performance issues, conduct issues. They've worked with small teams, large teams, culture issues, client problems. They really come across as someone that you could very confidently hand this over to, but that would lead the team from the top. So they're not necessarily, by the way that you can tell, you've asked them questions and gotten to know them, their style is that they wouldn't necessarily get in and take some clients on themselves and come to meetings and get in and involved and do the work themselves. They would really start making changes, decide what the next priority was. They're not by any means like a horrible boss or they're going to rule with an iron fist, but you just get the sense that they are senior experience, they're going to delegate. Now, who would you go to?
So the manager that's, leading from the top down and is just going to make changes and kind of delegate, I'm concerned about them because I feel like our existing team are very resistant to change, I'm gauging. They've been there a long time. They probably have very established ideas of how things work and what they want to do. So getting change to happen at all will be tough. And I think it will be harder if it's coming from I'm the new guy and here's how it works from now on. Whereas the other dude who's really great at problem solving and systems is giving me like, he'll come in and go, all right, I'm in the weeds with you. Let's work this out. I've got an idea. Let's try this. And they might be more resistant to seeing them as one of them. They're my initial thoughts.
Yep. Absolutely. It depends so much on the context of the team, right? Because like you say, if they're really resistant to change, someone coming in and wanting to just change stuff straight away, if they get all of these team members offside, these people probably have a whole lot of company knowledge. There's probably a couple of them that we really want to hang on to that are really important. They've got some key clients that they've got really strong relationships with, and we want to make sure that they are doing their job, we're lifting their performance and making improvements, but we want to make sure that we retain them and we keep them really engaged. So if that was the case, potentially that could clash. But what if we kind of think that some of these people have been here a long time, they aren't going to like change, but they're the ones that are underperforming. They're the ones that actually, if they really got offside and didn't like what the changes were making, that would be okay. We would deal with that. He would know how to deal with that. The other members of the team are the ones that would be okay with it. They would get on board. He would really be a great solid leader for them who've been a bit lost so far. Potentially that could really work, right? Where you do have like maybe there's a couple of performance issues, historical things, bullying things. These two people don't like each other. They sit at separate ends of the office. Like there could be all sorts that someone needs to weed through. And if you've got someone who's never had a tough conversation with anyone in a formal sense, they might just be like, oh, I have no idea how to do this. These people have been here so long and these are such complex issues that I've got to deal with. How do I even talk to them about it? Our first external candidate might just shy away from all of that and go, I don't know how to have this conversation. I'm really, really lost. So that could be a factor as well. Now, does it change anything if I also added in an extra detail? Let's say there was a really strong HR business partner. Now, again, for anyone who doesn't know what that role does, the idea of a good one is that they're meant to partner with managers to help them look after their teams, to help coach them, to help give them advice, to help point them in the right direction, to give them some support, particularly when we're dealing with performance issues, team issues, culture issues, all stuff that might be going on. So they're not necessarily doing it for them, or even they might not even sit in on a single meeting. They might just be giving advice to the manager. Okay, how are things going? Have you had some team meetings yet? What are people saying? Okay, this is the issue you're dealing with. What are your thoughts? How do you want to approach it with them? Okay, have you thought about doing it this way? Like they can coach them through what they might do. So if we thought that that first candidate was coachable and, you know, was happy to do it, and we think that they could handle it as long as they had some guidance and some support, someone in their corner to maybe sit in on a couple of meetings if they didn't go well, maybe that's the difference puts it over the edge.
Yeah, that kind of eases the fears about them not being able to have tough convos.
Exactly. And maybe we're going to be asking them some interview questions about having tough conversations if that was the case. Or maybe we're talking to that external person about managing change gently if that's what we're interested in them. So I'm hoping from going into all of this, you can really see how each candidate is an entire package. It's not just about management experience, no management experience. There are so many different pros and cons and factors and things that those people are bringing to the table. We talked about industry experience. We talked about internal experience, knowing everyone and how things work already. That's a huge benefit if you are internal. We talked about being able to get the team on board and being someone who knows how that job works and what they're going through. So you're kind of leading them as someone who's a little bit senior to them, not as someone who is towering above and able to kind of go, I'm in charge. Like those are all things that are pluses for you potentially if you're coming into this first role. And I don't want people to think that you have to be experienced in all these things in order to be a really competitive candidate. I'm hoping that there have been a couple of light bulb moments. What do you think? Did we get some?
Yeah, I think so. It's a good reminder, not just about going for a manager interview, but any kind of interview, that the outcome and whether you were chosen or not is about so much more than just you, which is hard to wrap your head around, but it's one piece of the puzzle. What's going on in the team, the company, the challenges of that group, it plays such a big role.
Yes, it does. And to touch on when we've talked about giving feedback before, if you hired the more junior person to manage the account managers, are you going to tell the other person, oh, you had too much experience? Like, do they need to go and get less experience to go for that role? No, that's not the case. They're going to be, if they hired for that role a few different times, some of those times they would end up being the perfect person. It just depends on the unique kind of set of circumstances that comes along and whether there's a fit there. So what I want to talk about next is how we're ticking some of those management boxes, thinking about your transferable skills. These are all ways that you can think about your experience differently. Instead of thinking, I don't have management experience, these are things that you have done before. This is what managers do as well. You've just maybe got them in little bits and pieces here and there, rather than all in one formal job title.
Yes. So have you trained someone before? Not just, you know, you showed them where to click or where something's kept, but did you go above and beyond and create guides for them that can be referenced for future staff that are getting onboarded? Are you the escalation point for them when they can't solve something? They've tried everything, they're out of luck, they come to you, you solve the problem. Or did you intercept and fix a mistake that they made? How did you kind of handle it with them to not, you know, make them feel awful, but address it and correct it so it doesn't happen again?
Give them some feedback, have a bit of a difficult, awkward conversation. So I think training someone is something that everyone kind of comes up with. Oh, well, I have shown my colleagues how to do their jobs and that's my, great, that's wonderful. But I want you to think about that more deeply because colleagues train colleagues all the time. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're acting like a manager. See if you can pull out the best parts of when you were training someone that are a little bit higher level than just showing them how to do your job. So not only did you solve the problem for them, but did you help them escalate the problem themselves? Did you point them in the right direction? Did you get external help for them? Did you connect two departments together to get them to solve it for each other? Like, these are the kind of things that are a little bit broader, a little bit higher level than just sitting next to someone and showing them how you do your job.
Yes. Think about as well, were you in control of a piece of work or an event or some kind of area of responsibility where you had to delegate to other people or maybe make sure other people did their bit, kind of like monitoring and, you know, watching over people? Were you leading the meetings on it? There's a lot to think about in that area.
Chasing people up for things, having to follow up and say, hey, where did you get to with this? Like, have you got that back to me yet? Have you had to go about things different ways in order to get the result that you were doing? As a manager or as a leader, instead of doing things yourself directly, you're trying to achieve stuff through other people. You're getting that person to do the thing, that person to do the thing, this team to achieve XYZ, rather than you just doing stuff directly. You're directing other people. So if you've got examples where you've done something through other people actually delivering the work, that will make an incredible best bit, an incredible example, something really great to think about, transferable skills.
And as we touched on before, having difficult conversations, whether that's with the colleague that you're kind of training, even clients, customers, suppliers, those awkward, you know, tough conversations where you've got to be honest, that's a day in the life of a manager. So that's great.
Yep. Addressing things proactively, having an awkward conversation, giving feedback, anything that you, where you've had to be in those conversations, follow something up, deal with an issue, deal with a problem, respond to a complaint, anything like that will be really, really relevant. It doesn't always have to be someone that you've been directly responsible for or in charge of. You can talk about how some of those skills that you used in that interaction, you would treat the same way if a similar thing came up with one of your team. Oh, well, the first thing I did was speak to them first and just understand their perspective and explain to them what I was going to do next. I made sure to keep them updated. Like, all these things are stuff that transfers regardless of the scenario. So you can use those as an example.
That is part one of our applying / interviewing for a manager position when you've never been a manager before. I hope that kind of got you in the right mindset to start thinking about this differently and not in a way where you have to overinflate what you've done or, you know, think that you don't have a chance just because you haven't been a manager before. You just have to present what you've done and let the interviewers do the rest.
Yep. We have transferable skills. You can be a really, really strong candidate, even if you haven't ticked that specific box before. Now, make sure you come back for part two. We're going to go deeper into some of the questions, some of the topics you might have to talk about where you've got to be maybe a bit more creative. If you're being asked a leadership or management question and you don't have a perfect example, yes, we're going to draw on transferable skills, but there's sometimes some other things that you can kind of do or think about or prepare for when it's a management interview or a leadership interview in particular.
Good luck.
Thanks so much for listening to Interview Boss. If you like hearing the sound of our voices, our Aussie accents, follow us on Spotify or Apple or wherever you're listening. Give us a rating, a review, tell someone else about the show the old-fashioned way. All of that helps us reach more people, hit the charts, get heard about so that we can help even more people and bring you even better content in the future. For more advice, inspiration, savable content, behind the scenes, find out what's happening with Interview Boss, check us out on Instagram at Interview Boss, or go find me on LinkedIn and chuck me a follow. Sam, can you believe we started Interview Boss in 2021?
Not really. It's insane. That's a lot of episodes and a lot of hours of talking.
Oh my gosh, it is. And if you're scrolling through all of our episodes, you might scroll straight past something that you really, really needed.
Yes, we're always getting messages from people asking us to do an episode on something, and I'm like, we already have.
So we've put together playlists to help you find the episodes that are exactly what you need, suited to your situation.
They're all categorized. If you're applying for jobs, we have episodes about resumes, cover letters, job ads. If you've been offered your dream job, we have episodes on resigning, exit interviews, and how to impress at your new company.
And we even have a very special playlist that's very popular for if you have an interview coming up immediately and you need just our most recommended hard-hitting episodes between now and then.
For all our last-minute listeners. It's all there for you. You can browse by category and check out all the playlists at interviewboss.com.au/podcast.